left off last week, we were talking about the din of avelus called the kriyas hamita. And the Gemara tells us that an avel is obligated to turn over the bed, to flip over the bed. So we said that this is a somewhat of a strange application of hilchos avelus, because the reading of the Gemara is that it applies not only to the avelim, it applies to all the beds in the house, even those which the avelim themselves are not going to sleep in. So at least according to the way the Rav gave a very fancy beer in this, this is not so much one of the suri avelus, but rather this is more of a din of the base avel. The base of the house of the Avelis has to have a certain tzur, a certain form to it. And the fact that the beds have to be flipped over, that's somehow part of the halachic tzura of a base oval. So we said at the end of the show last week that we weren't so sure that everyone agrees to that. Some Rishonim didn't seem to learn that's the nature of the din. But whatever it is, at least either it's part of the Surah Avelis or part of the base oval. The Maaseh, there is such a din, at least there was such a din in Kriyas Hamita. We said at the very end of the show last week that Kriyas Hamita, practically speaking, is not really observed bizman hazeh, because a variety of reasons, either because we're afraid of the goyim, that the goyim used to think this was some kind of a kishuf, some kind of a witchcraft involved in this, even with manazet, it's not a practice for other reasons, because just practically speaking, the way our beds are constructed, flipping over the bed isn't going to do all that much. You're just going to be sleeping on an upside down mattress rather than on a flipped around bed. So the mice said that the din is not really practiced. The question is there any relevance at all? We spent a lot of time talking about this, but is there any relevance at all of Kriyas Hamita today? So the Gemara has a discussion in the end of Maseches Berakhotah about a second half of Kriyas Hamita. It means not only is there a din of Kriyas Hamita, but there's also a halacha that, or there seems to be a halacha, that an oval is not supposed to be on a non-mita kfuya. I mean, there seems to be two parts of the din. Number one, there's an active part of avelus to be kofa the mita, to turn the bed upside down. And then number two, there's an isser for the avel to be on a bed, to be either sitting on a bed or lying on a bed that's not kfuya. How do we know that there's such a thing exists? There's a second half of the din. So there's a discussion about on Erev Shabbos, when do you turn the beds right side up again? The assumption of the Gemara is that you can't have the beds flipped over on Shabbos, because that would be avelus for Hesia. People are going to walk in, people come to Menachem Avel, they're going to walk in, or Menachem will visit the Avel, whatever it is, people are going to walk in on Shabbos and walk in and see the beds upside down. That's going to be a veil for Fahesia. That's like a person walking around without wearing his shoes on Shabbos. That's like walking around wearing a torn shirt on Shabbos. So that you're not allowed to do. A veil for Fahesia does not apply on Shabbos. One is not allowed to observe a veil for Fahesia on Shabbos. So the Gemara says clearly that you have to flip the beds back over, back in the upright position for Shabbos. When are you going to do this? So the Gemara says you have to do it early in the afternoon. What do you do so early in the afternoon for? So the Rishonim explained, because it takes a long time. He said before that all the beds in the house are kfuyas. So if you're going to wait till 2 seconds before mincha to start flipping the beds over, you're never going to make the mincha in time. So therefore, the Gemara quotes a brisa that you zokif the mita, you turn the mita right side up, mishasa mincha, earlier in the day, even a few hours before Shabbos actually starts. So that's what the poskim are quick to point out, that the Gemara does not mean to say that avelus is over Friday afternoon. It's a misconception. People think that at 12 o'clock, chatzos, Friday afternoon, so a person doesn't sit shiv anymore. So there's no source for that. If anything, that's a mistake. That's a throwback from Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach in the afternoon, then many poskim say that there's no avelus after chatzos. That's because Erev Pesach is a psayontif. It's the zman of a krovus kovim Pesach. There's an issur malacha. So that's a whole different ballgame. But in terms of a regular Erev Shabbos, a regular Erev Yontif, so the Pesach Tshuva quotes that unlike the mistaken concept, people think that 1 o'clock in the afternoon already, the business as usual, so that's not correct. So the post can point out that Gemara about Kriyas Hamita and Zekivas Hamita does not indicate anything about the Shaila. The reason why the Gemara says that you have to put the beds right side up earlier in the day is because you're not going to be able to finish before Shabbos. So in a chinami, anything that has to be done before Shabbos, and the person has certain preparations to make mamash before Shabbos, so you'll have to get up from Shiva a little bit before Shabbos. But that doesn't mean there's no green light at chatzos to zman mincha to do whatever you want. It's whatever the time is necessary. So for Kriyas Hamita, it takes a few hours to redo all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that you have an Avel, he's in the middle of the day, four of Shiva, he's in the middle of Shiva. And Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he already has straightened all the beds. And then the Gemara says, even though he straightened all the beds, lo yeshev al hamita, he's not supposed to sit in those beds. Why is he not allowed to sit on his bed? We just told him that he's allowed to undo Kriya Samhita. We just said that you're allowed to, Chazal gave you a green light to turn the beds back in place again. And Alpha Bichain, the Gemara says, you shouldn't sit in those beds until Shkia, until it gets dark. So the Rishonim point out, you see from here, there are two halachas, that there's a mitzvah saseh, and quasi mitzvah saseh, there's a positive dimension of doing an act of Kriya Samhita. And even in a situation where you're not mechuyav to do Kriya Samhita, there's an iser to be on a bed that's not zakhuf. So Tosfos as a shaila, what exactly is the nature of the second iser? Does this second iser, in a certain sense, stand on its own? But this second iser is an iser b'fnei atzmo. That the oval is not allowed to be in a hard position. The oval always has to be down as far as possible. So when he does kriyas amita, so he lies down on the bed when it's mamash flipped over on the floor. When he doesn't do kriyas amita for whatever reason, Chazal pardoned him. It's erev Shabbos, 3 o'clock. Whatever the reason is, the Chazal exempted him from the mitzvah kriyas amita, but it doesn't take away the second iser. There's an iser for an oval to be in a high position. So Tosfos says maybe that din, that second iser, applies even when Kriya Samhita doesn't apply. Let's say on a chair. So Tosfos says a shaila, maybe an oval shouldn't sit in a chair. There's no mitzvah Kriya Samhita on a chair. Just because there's no mitzvah Kriya Samhita, maybe a chair is the same as a bed on Friday afternoon. So just as Friday afternoon, when there's no mitzvah Kriya Samhita anymore, Chazal exempted you from the Shabbos, but there's still an iser of sitting on a bed that's in a high position, maybe the same we should extrapolate to a chair the whole week of Shiva. So Taisa says, no, it's not necessarily the same. Kriya Samhita on Erev Shabbos means this bed is something that you're supposed to do Kriya Samhita on. It's a chevtza that shayach to Kriya Samhita. It happens to be that it's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and for technical reasons, you can't wait till the last second to turn the bed upside, turn the bed right side up. But this bed is in the parsha. This bed is shayach to the idea of this niyug to the practice of Kriya Samhita. So that an oval is not allowed to sit on. Where does it say an oval can sit in a chair? There's no mitzvah kriyas hakisei. So there's no mitzvah kriyas hakisei. So then there's no way to sit on a kisei. It's not kofli. What do you mean? I can't sit in the chair. Why can't a person sit in the chair? There's no mitzvah to flip the chair upside down. So then why in the world? Where did the issa come from for an oval to sit on a chair? So Tosfos, back and forth, I'm not exactly sure. So Tosfos seems to conclude that there is no issa. That the svar is very compelling. That we cannot extrapolate from that issa of sitting on a bed on Friday afternoon. That's dafka bed. But sitting on a chair wouldn't be a problem. Not on Friday afternoon. On a regular Tuesday afternoon, there's no issa for an oval to sit on to sit in the chair. If that's the case, if Tosfos' conclusion is correct, then Bizman HaZeh, that our beds are not subject to Kriya Samhita, for whatever variety of reasons that we said before, our beds are not built in such a way, it's not going to be recognizable when you go for the Mita. So our beds are like chairs of old. So just as Tosfos seems to conclude that there's no independent Isser of sitting on a high point, the Isser is only, the mitzvah is to do Kriya Samhita. If you didn't do Kriya Samhita, you can't sit on the bed. But if something that's not, you're not supposed to do Kriya Samhita, you're not obligated to do Kriya Samhita, it's a chefter, it's not nita to Kriya Samhita. So why should there be any issa whatsoever? So that's the Pashas Advarim, is that there really is no issa for an oval to sit on a chair. The whole thing is not the Torah's din. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that an oval is mechuyav to sit, is not permitted to sit on a chair. What the Gemara may say, at least according to some Rishonim, there's a machlekes and Rishonim about a girus in the Gemara talks about the possibility of an oval sitting on the floor, and that's a question as to what exactly that means. So some Rishonim say, what that means is that b'shas nicham aveilim, Maharam Rutenberg writes that way, that b'shas nicham aveilim, so the proper tzur of nicham aveilim, is that when the menachem come, so if the menachem is someone who's very close to the avel, so it's proper for him to sit mamish down on the floor with him. The Gemara quotes a pasuk of Iyov, that his friends came and they sat mamish on the floor with him. So we have someone who really, really is coming to be Menachem Avol properly. So the right way to be Menachem Avol is to mamish, the Avol should get down on the floor, the Menachem should get down on the floor. That's Nichem Avelim. So that's what the Poskim write, that we don't have that Bezman Hazeh. We're not such great Menachem today. We don't have such great words of comfort. A person comes and says, Amochi Menachem Eschem, and says, I'm sorry to hear about your Lord. So that's not the Nichem Avelim of Iyov's colleagues. That's not the Nichem Avelim that Chazal was describing. So since, if anything, there's no independent Isser of an Avol sitting on the floor, because the whole thing comes from Kriya Samhita, which doesn't apply to Bezman Hazeh. And the only possibility of maybe being some kind of a Chiyuv to sit on the floor is only when you have a Shas Nichem. And the Shas Nichem Bezman Hazeh probably doesn't apply. That's why many Tepuskim say that the whole institution of an Avol sitting on a low chair is not really Mikra Din. It's really only if some Minag B'Alma. It's a minug, it makes sense. It's a logical minug. You always sit down. Some want to link it to the fact that Gemara speaks about when the Melech would be observing Avelas, so he wouldn't sit on his big throne, he would sit on a little bit of a lower stool, just to show that he's also, it's not becoming for the Melech to sit mamash on the dirt, so the Melech would lower himself a little bit to indicate.
indicate that he was an Avelus. That's what some say. That's where the minute came from today, that the Avelim sit on a low stool. It's not a real din of Kriya Samita. We don't have Kriya Samita Bizman Azeh. There's no independent Isser Bizman Azeh. We don't have real Nicham Avelim Bizman Azeh. We don't have anything. But just to make it that everyone should know who the Avel is, so the Avel sits a little bit lower. It's based on this, and hold that the whole idea of an Avel sitting on the low on the floor is not a real din. It's on top. Nineh Gibi Alma. So then the idea that some poskim say you have to start measuring whether the chair is lovel or not lovel. It's not building a sukkah, it's not building an Erev. Some say that if the shiva chair is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, it's no good. That's too high. That's considered to be not sitting on the floor. So the answer is good. It's not sitting on the floor. The Avel's not chatz on the floor anyway. The bottom line is you walk in, you see he's sitting on a shiva chair. Nafkamina, whether it's 3 tefachim, 2.5 tefachim, the whole thing doesn't matter. So it should be minika, miyuchad lekach that he's sitting on. Yeah, Pasha Tishba is the same thing. Because all of Tishba, all the Minhagim of Tishba, were all extension from Shiva. So the sitting on the chair is also only a Torah's minig. The proof positive that sitting on a chair on Tishba is not sitting on a chair is only a minig is the fact that we do it after Chatzos. The general rule of Tishba is whatever's awesome, Mikra Din. You're not allowed to wear shoes. You can't learn all the things you can do. You can't do the entire day. Those things that are only b'teres minig, like not wearing tefillin and not sitting on a chair, those are only b'teres minig. Those minhag were only instituted until chatzos. We're on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, so it's not based on, it's not real Kriya Samhita, because the idea of Kriya Samhita doesn't make any sense for Tisha B'Av, because Kriya Samhita is not really avelos. It's because of the fact that Hashem Baruch Hu took away the neshama from a person. So that's a different minig. Some quarter minig that a person should be mitzar himself on Tisha B'Av night. He shouldn't sleep very comfortably on Tisha B'Av night. So he had different minhag of different Rishonim mats. Some Rishonim say he should sleep on the floor, other Rishonim say he should take a rock by a pillow. There are more quotes. Instead of 2 pillows, you take 1 pillow. Those are all just show that it's a mitzar on the chorbi, but it's not a real din of kisim. Is there any Kriya Samhita Bizman Azeh? We keep on chiseling away at it. The days of the Gemara, this is such a prominent part of Avelus, there's almost nothing left of it. So here you have
it. In the people's bedrooms, or is it for yourself that you know? In other words, there was no, like you said, if someone come in on a Friday and say, gee, the bed's already turned over. Today we go into the living room, dining room.
But you have no idea what's going on in the bedroom. Right, you have no idea what's going on in the bedroom. Right, but we don't do Kriya Samhita anyway, so right. Nobody anyway knows what's going on. Right. The olden days, they lived in one room. My grandmother told me her room was the bedroom, the kitchen, the living room. It was one little room in Poland. Do we have anything left to Kriya Samhita Bizman Azeh? So there is an idea that appears in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, and it's set over in the name of the Rav also. It's called the same idea. And maybe there is a little bit of our remnant, a little bit of Shiraim of Kriya Samhita Bizman Azeh. And that's based on the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Ma'akotan that the reason why we do Kriya Samhita, it's a little bit different than some of the other Nihugim of Avelus. Most of the practices of Avelus, the goal is to try to minimize the comfort of the Avel. The Avel doesn't wash and doesn't anoint and doesn't enjoy Torah and doesn't wear shoes, doesn't do things that make him generally comfortable. Kriya Samhita is not because of that. The Gemara says that Kriya Samhita was instituted because a person was taken away from this world. So we try to demonstrate the fact that a Nisham was taken away. So we say as follows. We say that the person came into existence in a Mita. That's what Puruvu is fulfilled on a bed. So a person came into existence on the bed, and now a person has been taken away from this world. So we're kai for the Mita. We turn the Mita upside down. It's as if to say, the Mita is not functioning anymore. Puruvu, stop. It means the person entering into the world has changed, has been flipped around. The person has now exited the world. So it's a demonstration of the fact that the person has died, has left the world. It's not that we feel particularly uncomfortable by flipping over our beds. So it's a different type of halacha. So that's what the Chasam Sofer and the Rav thought, that maybe Bizman Hazeh, where we can no longer do an actual Kriya Samhita for the reasons that we mentioned, it's not practical, or the Goyim, whatever it is, so we don't do real Kriya Samhita, but we still don't want to lose out on that idea. That notion is a very significant notion. We want to indicate the fact that the Tzelem Elokim has left this world from this particular home. So what the Minhag Yisrael became is to cover the mirrors. It's cover the mirrors, because the mirrors, you look at a person's reflection, so you say, oh, you look at the person's reflection, and oh, that's the Tzelem Elokim, so we turn that over. So we're not going to take the mirrors and throw them on the floor. So you cover the mirrors. So the Minhag Yisrael was to cover the mirrors in the Beis Avel. So that's a throwback to Kriya Samhita. And that if that's true, so then it makes a lot of sense that the minhag generally is that we cover the mirrors throughout the house, even not in the oval's room, even in those places where the oval's not necessarily going to use, because the same way we said that the base oval requires kriyas hamita in all the beds in the house, so the mirrors have to be covered throughout the house. Again, that's b'toras minhag as an extension of kriyas hamita. There are those who wanted to extend this minhag and say they should cover the pictures also, because the pictures in chatzal b'lakim b'elu mizeh. It means if the reflection of in a mirror is a reminder of Tzelo Lekim, if you see the picture of the deceased, it's the picture of the Niftar, so you should cover all the pictures, take all the pictures away. That's usually what people don't do. Usually people forget, they start bringing out pictures they haven't seen in 50 years. They start putting all the pictures around, people start showing albums at the base level. So that's not what the minhag is. So I was wondering about that. So I thought last week all of a sudden it dawned on me, or maybe that the minhag of Kriyas Hamita to the mirrors doesn't apply to the pictures. So last week when I gave my drasha about the Maris HaTzilvos, it was part of Pashas Vayakel, so the Rashi quotes the famous Maimon Chazal that the mirrors were used in Mitzrayim to facilitate Pur Viruvia. That was part of the Pur Viruvia process. So maybe that's where the minhag came from. That the minhag was to cover the mirrors, not just because the mirrors are something that you look at, oh, you think of Tzelem HaLakim. No, that the din is you're supposed to really flip over that vehicle of purva. Whatever was involved in bringing the child into the world is supposed to be overturned to indicate that the person has now left this world. So in the olden days, the most appropriate thing to flip over was the bed. This man is there. You can flip over the bed. How are you going to turn over the bed? You can't turn over the bed. It's not practical to turn over the bed. So the next best thing is the Maris HaTzovos, the mirrors that are associated in the Lashon Chazal, that they were part of the Puruvu process. They were the ones that the women in Mitzrayim used to help to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu Rivia. So as a demonstration of that, so you flip the mirrors upside down. You turn the mirrors around. It's not because you see a person's reflection in the mirror, so you think it's Elam Elokim. No, the mirrors were unique, not because they were related to Puruvu. Yeah. My only my Chiddush in Pashas Vayakel. Adding on to the Chassam Sofer, I don't know if there's any truth to it or not. It's just an idea.
If the whole idea of a Kriyas Hamita was that that should be turned over to make a simon, right? You can't do it. Why did the minhag develop that we remove the mattress from the bed and put on the floor? I mean, that would be the modern day cook, so you can't flip it over, but you can do something to show that bed.
Because I think in the days of the Rishonim, that's where the matches were all the time. I think when the Rishonim were describing that we can't do Kriyas Hamita, I don't think they had box spring. I don't think they had beds like we have. They just had them. They didn't have anything. It was a straw, a little piece of straw.
I'm saying nowadays, that would be...
I mean, we should go back Chadash and Menach and for us, we could do it, right. For us, we could do it. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for us to start new nihugim with these things. You're right. I think the way the Rishonim were describing is that the beds were just upside, plop on the floor anyway, so we flip it over, it's just upside down mattress.
How long ago did this, custom develop?
I don't know.
Hundreds of years?
I don't know. I'm sorry for living in the early 1800s. It's at least 200 years old. I can't tell you. It doesn't say it in the Ramah. The Ramah, the Shach. Nobody inside the Shulchan Aruch says it. So, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, mirrors probably
were. I mean, they did have mirrors in the olden days,
right.
But they don't. Not
500 years ago, that everything.
They didn't have 500 mirrors. We don't have 20 mirrors in a house like we have today, right? That is true. Yes. I don't know.
According to Rav's Chiddush, so can you say that there's not, could be a din that, let's say a person, I don't know, has something on his face, he can't use a mirror before.
Quite the only Lachadish Chumras or the Rav, whoever the Rav is, as we said last night, whoever they're referring to. I don't mean that. Last night, somebody asked Mishael in the middle of the Shia, what does the Rav say about? So I didn't know whether he was referring to himself. He was referring to me, and he's talking to third parties. And so I made a joke about it last night. I don't know. We're not Mechif to be Lachadish Chumras like that. What I tell people is that the minhag Yisrael is to cover the mirrors, but if the oval has to look in the mirror, someone else, when you put in your tefillin, I take out my tefillin mirror to look on, even in base oval, that's not an issue. There are those who say that this whole minhag.
What?
Some people say it's Some people want to be Yetzir Mitzvah Tzvon properly, so it's Teichel. The Mitzvah Anach Tzvon is Teichel Yetzir Vel Yimash. Okay. So if this is correct, this idea that we're not having the mirrors exposed as an extension of Kriyas Hamita, maybe one would argue that on Shabbos, you're mechuyif to uncover the mirrors. because on Shabbos you don't have an option to do Kriya. You're not allowed to do Kriya Samita. That's in the Chafar. So now imagine people are going to walk into the Beis Avon on Shabbos and they're going to see that the mirrors are covered. Oh, in Lecha Avelus for Hesi Gadol Mizeh. So maybe once you insist, you have to dafka flip the mirrors back again. You have to uncover all the mirrors on Friday afternoon. Some will say that. So I think that the minig is not that way. I think most people now don't bother to undo all the mirror coverings for Shabbos, especially when you have the stuff all over the mirrors. It's a big hassle to undo that. So I think that the reason why people are not so careful about that is that at the end of the day, no matter what I'm covering the mirrors is all about, at the end of the day, it's not a din. It's only b'teres minig. It's not an absolute halacha. So the Rishonim point out that the only time that you're not allowed to do avelus for hesia, only things that are really osur al avelus, to do something which is a real niyug of avelus on Shabbos for hesia, that's a problem. So which is something which is not avelus anyway. It's nothing really to do with avelus anyway. It's a minig. It's a custom. It's a nice thing. It's a heker, whatever it is. It's something which is not really halacha anyway. So that doesn't violate the halacha of being niyug avelus for hesia. It's a marshal of the Vedayim. The Rishonim point out a Gemara tucked away in the middle of a Basra. The Gemara is talking about the sugyas of buying and selling a base of kvaras. So in the middle of that sugya, so the Gemara talks about some of the nihugim that take place in the base of kvaras. So the Gemara talks about something which is the source for what we do. We don't do it exactly with the din of the days of the Gemara, but the idea of doing mamadas, of stopping and starting with the kvura. So this was only b'teres minig. It's not halacha to do these things. So the way we practice these things was not as that we do it before the kvura. The days of the Gemara, they used to do it after the kvura. In some places in the Gemara, they would do it after the kvura. So they have all these stops and starts afterwards for whatever reasons, rachtuma, whatever the cheshbonos were. So the Gemara discusses the possibility of doing that on Shabbos. Sometimes you do a kvura late in the afternoon on Friday, and you finish the kvura. So this is about 2 minutes to shkia, and so you finish the malacha part, and now you want to do these practices. So the Gemara says you're allowed to do that. You can actually mamash on the way back from the base of kvura. It's already shkia, you can still do your stops and starts. For us, that wouldn't be practical because we do it before the kvura. So obviously, you can't do that on Shabbos because then you have to be able to do the kvura. But in the olden days, when the minig was, they would do it afterwards. So then it's shach to do that on Shabbos. So the Rishonim ask, can you do it on Shabbos? So chafahasya. So the answer is, you're right, it's for hesia, but it's not avelus. It's not a din of avelus. It's not minig to do these things. It's not a familchus avelus. So anything that's not a requirement of avelus is not really considered to be a violation of avelus for hesia. So it's based on this that some of the Rishonim say that's the source for people change their seats even on Shabbos. There's actually a big machlokes of Rishonim about this. With the din that an avel is supposed to change a seat, so does that apply on Shabbos or not? So half the Rishonim said he's not allowed to change a seat on Shabbos because that's avelus for hesia. And the other half of the Rishonim said he's allowed to. So how do you defend the practice to allow him to? And some say if he's allowed to, then he's obligated to. That's the minhag most people have today, that they do change their seats on Shabbos. So why is that ayat b'farhesia? So there are a few reasons that are given. So one of the reasons that's given is that it's not avelus b'farhesia. This is not avelus altogether. This is not a din of a chazavelus. It's another kind of halacha that Chazal instituted, and they bring a raya from this Gemara in Bava Basra. Just as the Gemara says, you're allowed to do things that have to do with death on Shabbos. You're allowed to do things that are going to make people think about mis on Shabbos. It's not a mis. You're allowed to do the stopping and starting on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be noig avelus on Shabbos. So whatever is nishken avelus is not a problem. That's why I thought maybe that's the defense of the practice, that people leave their mirrors covered on Shabbos also. It's not a din anyway. So whatever is not a din is not really a need of avelus. No, because that was Mamash Adin. In the days of the Gemara, Kriya Samhita was Mamash Adin. So when Kriya Samhita was a real halacha, you had no choice, you have to flip it back because that would be a demonstration of Avelus. There's Manazeh, when covering the mirror is just a Zeichab Yalma, it's a throwback to remember the minute, the din of Kriya Samhita, so that itself is not called a din.
Explain, help me understand the differential between the din. They all seem to be Mitzagim that Nefach Ladin, except for like the first day of the Reiser and the other aspects of the Avelus. But most, where the, how's it?
No, they're not dinim. There are some dinim of Avelus. The Marshal, the fact that an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes, that's a real halacha. So when the Avel walks around with his slippers on Shabbos, that's an Avelus with Hesia. Well, let's say I think of other real avels from Hesia's Bizman as that. Let's say an avel, let's say wearing a kriya. So the avel is supposed to wear his clothing ripped. So the avel is going to walk around with his clothing ripped on Shabbos. That would be a demonstration of something of kriya before Hesia. So those are isurim of avels from Hesia. If an avel is not sitting in a seat in shul, so even if he is sitting in a seat in shul, it's not a real isurim of avelus. That's a different kind of a thing. Whether it's a din, it's a minig, whatever it is, but it's not a din of avelus proper. Whatever's not a din of avelus itself is not subject to the iser of avelus of hesia.
So there is, sorry, so just to understand it. So there's no Iser of showing Avelus, just the Iser of enacting the din of Avelus.
There's an Iser of showing Hilchas Avelus. It's doing things. It's only called the demonstration of Avelus when a person does something that the halacha requires an Avel to do. When the halacha doesn't require it, it's a minig, the alma, it's just a meal, you know, like that. So maybe that wouldn't be a violation. Maybe it's a suggestion. There are other posts that will say that the whole minig of covering the mirrors has mamish nothing to do with the veils b'chlam. Nothing at all to do with anything we're talking about. It was just a pure practical thing because they used to daven in the base oval. So when you daven, you're not supposed to look into a mirror. Let's think you're davening to yourself. So it wasn't appropriate to have all the mirrors, you know, business as usual. So the minig was to cover the mirrors. According to the Hepshat, it has nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with upstairs mirrors, nothing to do with bathroom mirrors, nothing to do with anything. It just means the mirrors in the area where you're davening. So when this minhag started, there was only one big room in the house. So they have covered the one mirror in the house. So that's it. So according to this interpretation, there's mamash nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. So again, the HVH, the different opinions in the post and where in the world this minhag came from. But again, it's not mamash b'teiris din. Remember when, after Rabin was killed, so there was an article the next day in the New York Times, because people were talking about Shiva and Avelus, it became an international topic, so they wanted to, you know, tell people a little bit what the Jewish laws of mourning are all about. So somebody, Ramesh, wrote an article, it just shows you that when you read an article in the newspaper, if there's a topic that you know more than the person who wrote about, you can usually see how mistaken the person was. If I know nothing about the topic, so a guy writes an article in the newspaper, so I assume the guy knows exactly what he's talking about. So he, not about Kaiba, but if I know a little more about Hilchos Avelus than the guy who wrote for the New York Times. So the guy writes an article. He's trying to describe what are the basics, trying to encapsulate with the basic laws, the Jewish laws for the last 3,000 years, the Jewish laws of mourning. So he decides to describe to you what are the absolute laws of Shiva. So he says that Shiva means that all the mirrors in the house are covered. I think that's the number one. That's like on the number one list of Hilchos Avelus. Not if they're Raisin, not if they're Rabbanan. We're not even sure what it has to do with Shiva or not. That was the first thing. Number two, he says, the laws of Shiva require that people don't shave. It's not true. Not a true statement. The laws of Shloshim require that a person doesn't shave. It doesn't do with the Shiva per se. And the third is that everybody sits on the floor. Also, that's not the Shiva. That's a minig. Maybe. We're not even sure where that comes from. So that's in the American vision. That's what sitting Shiva means: sitting on a low chair and covering the mirrors and not shaving. I said nothing. No one said anything about an Issa Tamat Torah, about an Issa Shel Shalom, about an Issa Rechitz, an Issa Sicha. Nothing. The din of Hilchos Avelus didn't make it to the New York Times. So we have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Maybe created a halacha that those three items are now sort of.
Yeah. Oh, now that it's Oskapaski, the New York Times, that's called Avelus. Now that changes it. Okay. Okay. Whatever it is. Okay. All those who read the Times. Okay. Good. Anyway, getting back to this story. So now we move out of the realm of Kriya Samhita, which we said, all the dust settled is not really, really knowing Bizman Azeh. Now we move into an Isser of Avelus that does apply to Bizman Azeh, but it's the strangest of all the Ilchas Avelus because it doesn't apply for the entire week of Shiva. Normally, the starting point of all of Avelus is that there is such a concept called Yom Rishon, and there's a concept called the first 3 days, and then there's a concept of 7 days. So we saw there are slight nuances of differences between them. According to some Rishonim, there's a major difference. According to the Rif and the Ram, the Gaonim, the first days they're Isa, the rest of the days are the Rabbanon. Okay, that's a pretty major difference, but we don't really pass it like that. Then we saw a couple of differences in terms of the first 3 days. There's a nuance of a difference for Sheol Shalom. There are nuanced differences, perhaps Lagabi Malocha in certain extenuating circumstances. So you have little breakdowns within the days of Shiva, but in terms of the basic Isurim of Shiva, so they all apply from beginning to the end. So here we find one where the Gemara says explicitly doesn't apply for the entire week, and that's the Isur of Anochas Tefillin. So the Gemara says that an Ovel is not permitted to wear Tefillin, but the Gemara quickly qualifies that by saying that only applies to an Ovel Yom Rishon, it only applies in the first day of Avelus. So even though the Gemara does say it only applies in the first day of Avelus, there's a little bit of a steer in Gemara, as we shouldn't point out, that in one place the Gemara speaks about Yom Rishon, and another place the Gemara starts talking about 2 days. The Gemara talks about the possibility of an Ovel not wearing Tefillin on the second day as well. So the question is, is it 1 day or is it 2 days? Which is it? So there's a machlekes in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say that that the emes is that it really applies to 2 days. It's just that on the second day we have a right to say miktsa yom kukulo. So the iser in theory is 2 days, but lamaisa practically is really only 1 day, because the second morning already miktsa yom kukulo, a little bit of the day starts, and sure, miktsa yom kukulo permits it. So practically speaking, it's okay on the second day. So if that's the case, that it's really also on the second day, it's just that miktsa yom kukulo kicks in, that would be a source for a big chumrah, because miktsa yom kukulo, we spoke about this in the past, according to many rishonim, doesn't apply at night. We spoke about this by the Shevet Lag Bomer, we mentioned this, and we spoke about Tasha Shemitah the night before, and Libra Torah the night before. So we said that's a big machlekes of Rishonim, and minig is that Miktsa Yom Kukulo doesn't kick in until the following morning. What does the following morning mean? So we usually assume that the following morning means Neitzachama, means sunrise. If that's the case, if you really hold it, there's an Issa for an Oval to wear tefillin for 2 days, it's just that practically the second day is okay because of Miktsa Yom Kukulo. That would lead to an interesting chumrah. Let's say a person has levaya on Sunday, so levaya is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the oval doesn't wear tefillin the whole day. In the morning he didn't wear it because he was in oinei. Now he doesn't wear it the rest of the afternoon because he's in oval. And Monday morning, bright and early, he wants to put on his tefillin. Not so fast. He has to wait to mix the gugul. He has to wait till after nates. So on some times of the year, waiting till after nates is not so difficult. Other times of the year, it's very difficult. Nates, it's ready. What time is nates this morning? 5 to 7, okay. It's on the later end. Sometimes you have in the middle of the winter, Nates is 7:20. In the Shiva house, they're davening at 6:30. So they're allowed to put on, everyone else is allowed to put on tefillin, because after Misha Yakir, you can already make a bracha on tefillin. Misha Yakir is way before Nates. I'm not going to commit myself to how much before Nates it is, but significantly before Nates. But the Ovel maybe can't put on his tefillin yet, because for the Ovel, there's an Isra, an Ovel, Yom Rishon / Yom Sheni, is not allowed to put on tefillin. So some boys can say that. Some boys can say that an Ovel on Yom Sheni has to be careful not to put his tefillin on before Nates. He'd have to make the minyan later on. Right. It's like the Davinates would be a problem. Right, he wouldn't be able to put on his tefillin until then. And other Rishonim say, no, it's Lahayot Vamiyal. Other Rishonim say that there is no Issa for the Ovel to wear tefillin on the second day. I happen the Gemara uses a Lashon of 2 days. So some Rishonim say, well, because he doesn't wear tefillin on the first day, Altsavelis, and he doesn't wear tefillin at night either, because nobody wears tefillin at night. So it turns out that the Ovel hasn't worn tefillin for 2 days. That's a very hard Lashon. He doesn't wear, nobody wears tefillin at night. Not supposed to wear, they're Isa, they're Abban, and Machlaikis, but nobody wears tefillin at night. So the Lashon of Shnei Yom is difficult. So it's a question in the Rishonim. The Shabura quotes Machlaikis at Paiskir about this. Some folks would take a machmer in this. I think that the minig is lahakal in this. I don't think most Shiva houses, on the second day of Shiva, so make that insistence that in the middle of winter time they have to start the minyan later in order to enable the avail to put on tefillin at the right time. I think the minig of is to assume, like those Rishonim who say, that there really is no issur on Yom Sheni. That the whole lashon of Yom Sheni was lav dafka. The real issur is avil Yom Rishon. Very, very difficult to understand, right? Maybe if we understand why the first day is awesome, then we'll figure out why the second day is awesome. So we're not quite sure about this whole story, where this whole tefillin Yom Rishon versus the rest of Shiva kick in the first place. So this was a big machlekes. We spoke a lot about this in the Chas Tefillin Shiurim last year. So this was a big machlekes. Suppose, came where in the world Yom Rishon comes from? Before we can understand whether Yom Sheni exists or not, we have no idea where Yom Rishon comes from. So there is a chiddush gadol of one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Ma'ariv Tatz, who says that this idea that Chazal draw a distinction between the first day and the subsequent days is not such a chiddush. It's a throwback to the Rif and the Rambam and the Gaonim. The Rif and the Rambam and the Gaonim hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa. The Yisur of washing and the Yisur of Tamatayr and Shalom, all the Yisurim of the novel on the first day of Shiva, Amamish Min Deraisa. After the first day, then and only then, everything is Derabbanan. When the Gemara says that Moshe Tikkun L'Mitzvah Shivas Yimei Avelus, what that means, according to the Rif and the Rambam and the Gaonim, is that the Shivas Yimei Avelus was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a Derabbanan. But the Yom Rishon, the first day, that's the Torah. That's learned out from the death of Nadav and Avihu, Ve'achad Yichad Esayim, and Onei is not allowed to eat Kotchim, not allowed to do things that make him a Simcha. So that's Mamun, those are Mamash Dirim Diaraisa. So says the Maritats, now we understand why the Oval doesn't wear tefillin on the first day and does wear tefillin on the subsequent days. Because when it comes to tefillin, it's a chametzu diaraisa. So when the person is an oval diaraisa, I understand he doesn't wear tefillin. When the person is only an oval diarabonon, he's not going to wear tefillin. The Torah says he has to wear tefillin. The Torah says he's not an Ovel anymore. According to their Eisnik standards, Avel is over after the first day. So now Midr Eis is chayv and tefillin, and Midr Rabbanon, you're going to tell him not to wear tefillin? Ah, that can't be, says the Maritatz. So it must be that that's the reason why Yom Rishon is separated from the rest of the week. According to that Svar, obviously Yom Sheni would be meaningless. Yom Sheni is mamash nothing. So Maritatz would be going along the lines of those poskim, that there never was an Issa for Yom Sheni. Everything is only Yom Rishon. But says the Maritatz, if that's correct, so then there's going to be a tremendous chiddush, namely, that the definition of Yom Rishon is only going to be a D'oraisa definition of Yom Rishon. Because according to Maritatz, the whole potir, the whole osir of tefillin on the first day is emanating from the fact that there's avelos D'oraisa. That's only true if and when there's avelos D'oraisa. What does that mean? So the Rambam writes in Chus Ovel that, yes, I agree to the riff in the Gaonim, is the Rambam speaking. I agree to the riff in the Gaonim that there is avelos Yom Rishon D'oraisa, but not every Yom Rishon is called the Yom Rishon D'oraisa. It has to be what's called Yom Miso Kvura. It has to be the day that the person died and the same day that he was buried. If it's both Yom Misa and Yom Kvura rolled into one, then it's avelos D'oraisa. Then the Ovel doesn't wear tefillin. And what if it's not? What if it's only Yom Kvura? Very common. Person dies on a dies on Friday afternoon. The Kvura is until Sunday. So that's not called Yom Misa Kvura. That's called Yom Kvura L'chud. That's only Midir Rabbanu. So the Maritatz paskins that in such a case, the person would have to wear tefillin. Now, we can't wear tefillin in the morning because he's still a nine. The minute the Kvura is over, he'd have to make go home and put his tefillin on. That was the Chiddush Gaol of the Maritatz. So if a person dies and one day, buried a few days later, so the quote-unquote Yom Rishon doesn't really exist. So it's taka b'chuyiv, Midir Aisa, and Midir Rabbanu, to make a bracha, he's b'chuyiv to wear his tefillin. So many of the poskim, probably most of the poskim, disagreed with the Maritatz. Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this Maritatz Lahalacha. Most of the poskim disagreed, and the reason why they most probably disagreed is because the Ramon, the Shach, both poskim that Avelos Yom Rishon is not their Isa. So once you say that Avelos Yom Rishon is not their Isa, obviously the issue of Anochas Tefillin can't be linked to the definition of their Isa. Once it's not linked to the definition of their Isa, then that statement is only Yom Rishon Berurah becomes meaningless. So hopefully Mishnah will have to see next year about what everybody else says. The Maritatz was a Chiddush Gadol, but the Maisa, most people didn't accept that. So hopefully Mishnah next year we'll have to see how this played out in the Maisa for us.